Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Hey, is this 0600? What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early...
Good morning! Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
They're all completely gassed! They've given it everything on the global bucket! Here comes Gigant! Here comes Gigant!
Gigant's making the play around Sweden! Yes! Jesse Gigant's yes! to the line!
Yes!
And it is
yes!
Jesse Gigant delivering a landmark moment that will be etched in U.S. Olympic history!
Hey, so how did it go today?
Pretty good.
Just when I thought I was out, pull me back in.
It's time for the Mickey Plyler Show, here on The Roar.
Tigers back on the practice field. The Yankees take 2 out of 3 from the Braves. Eric Backich has a press conference on Friday, and the Protect College Sports Act doesn't make it to the Congress floor. A busy Monday show, so let's go. Morning, sports fans. Glad to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show. Monday, August the 10th, 2026. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to do today. Going to talk some college football from practice stuff. Talk some college baseball, some NFL football stuff, some Major League Baseball stuff. Got a lot to do. Even some PGA Tour, some NASCAR. Playoffs are now set on the PGA Tour. We can talk about that a little bit. We can talk about the College Sports Act not making it to the floor of the Senate. Got a lot to do here. Very busy Monday show. What'd you think of the weekend? We call this Reaction Monday. We'll hear from you all day on our phone lines and our text lines. And also the guy that will guide us through all of that, Mr. Will Clanton, producer. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. Good to be back. Good to see you.
Glad to hear that. Life good for you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good weekend?
Good weekend. Busy weekend.
Great.
That's just how we like it.
Yeah, man. Got to do that for sure.
Didn't have a honey-do list, but I have a me-do list.
Yeah. Did you make it through your me-do list?
Absolutely not, but...
Because you're on your see-do. You didn't do your me-do.
I wish... Man, if I had a see-do, I might retire.
Everybody's doing it. See-do. Anyway, I had a good weekend. I was a bachelor. My wife and kids went down to see the in-laws, and I just played golf. I played terrible. Just terrible all weekend long. I played Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I played terrible. But tried hard. And I had exercise. Walked a lot in that heat. You told me before the show that remember about middle of last week, they said, the temperatures are now, we're not going to be in the 90s again, didn't look like. And here we are. Tomorrow, 94, 94, 95, 96, 94, 94, 94, 93. Like we thought August is going to be like some mild August, and here we are in the mid-90s now. So anyway, they completely missed that. What are we going to do in segment 2 today?
Segment 2, I want to talk about something very interesting related to season ticket sales and promotions.
All right.
Outside of... the state of South Carolina and the South.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Looking forward to it. I want to talk some Clemson football today. Tigers get back out to practice. Now, we have a viewing window today. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it because we have 8 and under coaches pitch practice today. So I won't make it, matter of fact. We got 5:30 practice for our very first practice of the year with our new team. So looking for a little fall ball, a little fall baseball. So I won't get it today, but we've got a bunch of sources out there, a bunch of people out there, and we'll get with all the guys and see what all the people are saying about it. But so far, so good. No major injuries at Clemson, and some interesting battles taking shape there, so we'll talk about that. Hey, I'm watching a guy on ESPN right now. What's wrong? He's got two vertical lines on his head. He's got a bunch of horizontal lines, too, on his forehead. What's up? Is that a Star Trek thing? What is he doing there? He's got two vertical lines and a bunch of horizontal lines.
I'm not seeing the vertical lines.
Hold on. He's got two. Well, maybe it's my TV. Shouldn't have any vertical lines. I'll just check that out here in a second. Okay. Anyway, I got distracted by the guy. It looked like a bunch of H's on the guy's head. Anyway, so we'll talk about some football stuff. South Carolina back at practice. Georgia back. So we'll make some notes there. We can talk baseball. Braves fans probably don't want to do it after getting beat 2 out of 3 by the Yankees. I mean, it's just what we do. All close games, by the way. And all games could have gone either way with that one. But in the end, Braves lose 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. Braves still okay, as you know, because the Phillies struggled, only won 1 of 3. And now bad news for the Braves, they got the Mets coming up. But Yankees went 3-2 on Friday, 5-4 on Saturday, and Braves won 2-1 yesterday. Rest of Major League Baseball from yesterday, Nationals 7-1 over the Reds, the A's down to the Red Sox 4-3. It was the Mets pounding the Pirates 11-1. See, I'm talking about the two verts on the outside above his eyes? Is that just my TV?
Okay, no, I see it. Maybe he's just got he's thinking so hard that it's putting pressure on
that. And it looks like maybe a wrestler has been cut too many times in the forehead. You know, where they do that fake blood stuff on the forehead?
It also looks like he's cut off a unibrow and it missed a little bit of the fake tanner.
Maybe.
It's interesting.
And you've got, I don't know, a little Sharpay look on his forehead. Anyway, all right. Phillies walk off 7-6 against the Jays in 12. Marlins 3-2 over the Angels. It was Cubs pounding the Royals 12-2 or 10-2. Pale Sox over the Guardians 5-3. Twinkies lose to the Brewers. Brewers are hot. 4-3 and 10. Redbirds over the Rockies, 7-4. Orioles down the Rangers, double them up, 10-5. And 10, Tigers over the Giants, 3-1. D-backs 4-2 over the Dodgers. Man, what in the world is wrong with the Dodgers? Rays beat the Marlins. Mariners 4-1, and the Padres 7-2 over the Astros. Since the trading deadline, everybody's going crazy about all that. The Dodgers get swept by the Red Sox. They get swept by the Cubs, and they lose 2 out of 3 to the D-backs. Still 7.5 up. But, man, the Dodgers, not what we thought at one point in time. I don't know if it's – well, let me get PGA Tour stuff first. Playoffs are set. Yesterday, Michael Brennan won despite trying to put the world to sleep with slow play. He had a 3-shot win up in Greensboro. North Carolina, at the Wyndham Classic up at Sedgefield Country Club. Shooting 22 under par, going 66, 65, 63, 64. Pretty good. 22 under par, beat Bo Hostler by 3. Locally, Andrew Novak finished tied for 7th at 14 under. JT Poston, Lucas Glover missed the cut. And now we have the playoffs that are set. So, the guys who got it, Jackson Koivun played in 6 events and got in because he won, and he's in. Our guy, Aldrich Polkiter, is in. So, we got to keep an eye on those two guys because, you know, Luke Hopkins, our caddy friend, is there as they go to Memphis now. The playoffs start this week. The guys that didn't get in among those, Hostler barely missed it. You felt bad for him coming into to yesterday. Jason Day missed. Andrew Novak barely missed. Let me give you the local guys that did not make it. The local guys that made it, Jacob Bridgman's 13th on the official money list, official FedEx Cup list. That's good. JT Poston's in. He's 30th. All of our other local guys missed. Andrew Novak, 84th. Lucas Glover, 101. Ben Martin, 159. Carson Young, 196. Jonathan Bird, 197. Bill Haas, 212. Our local guys, 2 made it. Bridgman's got a chance to win the FedEx Cup. Got to play well in the playoffs that begin in Memphis this week. NASCAR, you had Ty Gibbs winning in Iowa. I don't know why we're racing NASCARs in Iowa, but that was there. And we had the, I don't know if it's good news or bad news, that the Protect College Sports Act did not make it to the Senate floor for a vote before they recessed, and now they'll be gone till September. So I'm not sure that there were objections to the bill. There's all kinds of, anytime you have a bill, then you've got pros and cons. There's never been a bill that had, everything was good. Oh, I can't say never. Usually add on such pork to stuff that what you think you're voting for, you're not voting for. What you think you're voting against, you're not voting against. But anyway, with this one, there's this little stuff that's in there. And it didn't make it, and they still make provisions. And now, and the House certainly is not even close to voting on it. So I don't know when we're going to get it or what all that looks like. So it is, it's interesting. It's interesting. And again, I don't think it's perfect by any stretch. And it's got some limitations and stuff just don't make sense in some senses. But a lot of it is, the basis of it's pretty good too. So anyway, we can talk a lot about that. WNBA can't really stay out of its own way. I don't know who the marketing people are at WNBA, but somebody needs to give them a little PR class, and they just continue to drop the ball there. I don't know why they think that we're interested in their politics and their racism and what all goes on both sides, and I don't know why they can't just play. Well, I know why. The basketball's not good enough to be good on its own, so you got to have everything else that's going on in there.
I heard Kwok say something the other day that I really appreciated. Caitlin Clark had an abysmal performance last night, but not as abysmal as her lack of statement on the 1920 Tulsa race riots.
I heard a national host this weekend say that it's like everything they do, they don't live in the real world. They just go to social media and react everything off of social media. They think the entire world is social media. And they don't pay attention to real life, real world, that they just they want to live their real lives in a social media world. It makes a lot of sense. I hadn't really thought about it. And there's others that do it, but I don't know, man. I don't know about all that.
You got to take yourself seriously before other people take you seriously.
Very good point. Very good point. High of 91 today, partly cloudy. No rain today. We're not going to get rain again. Well, 25% chance we'll get off. Maybe later in the week we'll get some rain. So we'll see what all that looks like. All right. Clemson football. Got some news and notes coming out of it. You know, these things are not only practices scripted, but post-game stuff is scripted through all that. It's kind of hard to tell, but in talking to people that were there and people that, you know, been to the first two of the first three practices or all three practices, quarterback battle continues to shape up. We'll get into that today. I think there's some pretty interesting running back thoughts coming out of the first three practices. We'll get to that today. A bunch of offensive line shuffling and shuffle around names. We'll get to that today. I have a thought about pressuring the passer, what that might look like. We'll get to that today. And then some of the newcomers continue to make some impressions. We'll get to that today. So with that said, we're going to talk an awful lot of Clemson football with that one. And as usual, we'll get to your phone calls and your text. Text. Speaking of that, Adam's got over text line. Texted, Mickey, any thoughts on the PGA moving the tour championship away from East Lake after this year? Is it? I think it's 28. I could be wrong on that. They still have not finalized their entire schedule. And there's more of a concept rather than a set concrete deal. Let's look at what actually happens first. I think it's too early to tell. But if you're gonna move it, and we're gonna take it to Cypress Point, Monterey, California, then heck yeah. If you're gonna take it and put it at Pine Valley, in New Jersey, then heck yeah, you can take it down to Seminole, put it at Shinnecock, whatever. Yeah, I'm all for all that. Let's just wait and see what the schedule is gonna look like, and once we do that, then we can judge it. But what we're, you know, based upon what we hear at this point in time, what we think at this point in time, I don't know. And then finally, I looked at it. Now, we're going to have some college football in week zero, but for all intents and purposes, we're talking about the first week in September. So we are now 3 weeks away from game week. So let's go. All right. Short break. We will come back, and when we do, we're talking tickets. Remind me again, tickets and
promotions.
We'll do that with Will Clinton in segment two right after this.
As previously mentioned, season ticket prices have gotten a little ridiculous. Some of these smaller schools are having trouble selling out their season tickets, understandably so.
Yeah.
And Akron, as some people may have heard, Akron is doing a special promotion to try and finish selling all of the season ticket allotments. What they have done, and this was earlier last week, they had a post on Twitter. It said, make history and be the lucky season ticket holder to design the opening drive of the home opener when the Zips host Robert Morris, an FCS school, by the way. And this offensive coordinator of the game, as they're calling it, will be able to script the opening drive of that game. You will spend Thursday and Friday leading to the home opener. Inside the football offices watching practice, you'll sit in-game planning meetings alongside the head coach, Moorhead, and who will offer their vision for the opening script. So you will be able to script out the first drive, is what they're saying, at least.
Well, okay.
So.
Okay, how that works. First of all, I like the idea. We've created a buzz. We're talking about it in South Carolina on August the 10th. Secondly, you feel bad for Joe Moorhead in that now, I mean, here was a guy that was the head coach at Mississippi State. Long time, coordinator at Penn State and coordinator at Oregon, but was a head coach at Mississippi State. And now here he is taking, you know, this cockamamie idea and having to run with this. It was presented to him. He turned it down, and then he ended up doing it. And then lastly, if you think that they're waiting till the Thursday and Friday before the first game to script the plays, then I got news for you. I mean, this is all fluff and paper. This is not real life. That offensive staff is putting in game plans. Not yet. They're still practicing yet. But, like, scripting the first series, if this is how it's going to be, it's going to be a three and out, so you got to script three plays. But but scripting the first series, that's happening long before. Now, my guess is whoever wins this competition is going to get to, you know, think like you have some input and come in, and they're going to say, hey, here's what we're planning on running, here's why, show you all that, and you go, oh, yeah, I like that, you know. But they're not going to wait to the Thursday and Friday before the first home game, the first game of the season to script the first offensive series.
Well, it is their second game of the season.
Oh, second game.
Yes, they are.
They're just not going to practice on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
I mean, that's a good point. But
I mean, that staff, that thing's done. I mean, scripting, I'll put it like this. Ellis Johnson told me one time that the hardest part of working for Gene Stallings was that you put the defensive in, you get all your film on Sunday, you review your Sunday morning, you grade your film from Saturday, and then you start watching film of the other team on Sundays, and then you meet as a staff, and you get some ideas. And Monday and really Tuesday, man, your game plan, you're still studying their personnel, studying all their stuff, but the opponent's hash stuff, their red zone stuff, their short yardage stuff, all their personnel sets and all that. You're studying all that. Your game plan is going to be in by Tuesday because your players want to know, like, man, what we're going to rep, what are going to rep over and over and over and over and over. But now the hard part, he said, of working for Stallings is, they'd have it all in on Tuesday, and Wednesday he would come in and change everything. And they'd have it all in on Wednesday, and then Thursday he'd change everything. And he's even in the hotel on Friday nights, Stallings would come in and change the defensive game plan sometimes. That's an issue. That's a problem. Well, that said, we're not letting some guy that won a ticket promotion deal come in on Thursday and go, oh, well, here's what I want to do. What do you got? You know, that ain't happening. Sorry.
It's not like he's going to be standing on the sidelines with a headset.
No, not even that. Like, just putting it together, too. Like, that thing's done. Mm. If you're coming on Thursday and Friday, you got a Thursday practice that you're in shorts, and then you got a little bit of a walkthrough on Friday. Some teams don't even walk through on Fridays. So, I mean, but again, I think it's creative. I think it's great that they do this. But if you think you're going to win this thing, all of a sudden, all your buddies calling you, hey, man, here's what you got to run. No, that's been decided, man. You go in there, they'll tell you why, and they, you know.
Yeah.
And if not, they needed to fire the head coach.
Joe Moorhead, oh, poor guy. What this has done is exactly what they wanted it to do, though.
Created a buzz.
Create buzz.
It's brilliant.
And what the report is, and I'm going to tell you why I don't believe this report, they've said that Robert Morris fans have started buying up season tickets as well. Because you got to realize, Akron is, they're not a great program. They haven't ever been a great program.
All right.
You can get season tickets, which is six home games, for $450 per season ticket, $75 a game.
All right.
So if you're a Robert Morris diehard, because I'm sure that actually exists in real life.
Both of them. Robert and Morris.
Robert and Morris. So, okay, so you're combining two. Maybe you get a couple extra fans there.
Yeah.
The report is that Robert Morris fans have started buying these season ticket packages in hopes of being able to be that person and sabotage the game plan. Again, your thinking is correct. It's not going to have an effect. They're not going to allow somebody to come in and mess things up. Even though Robert Morris is surprisingly a worse program than Akron, historically.
Well, yes. They went 3-9 last year.
7-5 the year before, 4-7 in 23, 0-11 in 22, and 4-6.
Their three wins last year, they beat West Liberty, they beat St. Francis, and they beat Stonehill. One word, Stonehill. So that's their three wins last year. Now, look, I think that's it's brilliant, and if both Robert Morris fans want to come in and try to buy the tickets and all that, if you gave the average fan the ability to script plays for the first drive, the first play would be a double reverse flea flicker, you know? You'd run the fullback up the middle, and you throw your tight end. Like, those are the most popular plays ever. Coach, why don't we see more trick plays? There'd be some trick plays in there. You get some... triple reverse flea flickers, and you might run that three times, whatever. Throwing it deep. We're throwing it deep every play.
Let's take a moment and imagine that what some people think is actually going to happen, which is actually scripting the plays and standing on the sideline with the headset for the first drive of the game. What's going to prevent the quarterback from just audibling out, like, all right, flea flicker?
Check.
Now we're going halfback dive up the middle, guys.
Yeah, we're going to check to this. That's right. It's interesting. I think that the average fan, once they got in that room, would be – and the average radio host, me included, and the average producer –
me included.
Yes. I think that when you got in that room, that offensive meeting room or defensive meeting room, I think that you would be so overwhelmed at the depth and the knowledge and the complexity that I think that you just go, yeah, just do that. Whatever y'all plan, just do that.
Because it's going to be a little intimidating for most people.
Yeah. As fans and as radio hosts and as producers, we love to give our 2 cents on things. But our 2 cents don't take into account that on the other side of the ball, the staff that we're criticizing has studied every single snap personnel-wise of every package, of every down and distance, like I said, of every red zone and every short yardage, every down and distance situation, and they've done all that, and tendencies of what they're going to do, what they want to see, and then they know for sure, 100% certainty, what they can expect from their 11 and their strengths and their weaknesses and what their kids can grasp. And then they go in this wealth of experience among staffs, offensive or defensive staffs, and there's very few that any of them hadn't seen before situations. And so your offensive line coach is going to have some input. Your tight ends coach has input. Running backs, quarterbacks coach, wide receivers coach, all these guys got these ideas and run some things off of. And then you're going to work them in practice. Not like, but the average fan, by the time they got in there, first of all, we wouldn't understand the terminology because they'd be wanting to run – Razor Vegas tight 392. We're going, I don't know what that means. No idea what that means, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we might as well. Seriously, we have just as good a chance of going in with Dr. Martin on some surgery. We would.
Except lives wouldn't be at risk when yeah. you're on the football field.
Yeah. I mean, I did this a few weeks ago.
You did surgery on someone?
No. No. This segment on what a play call would sound like in the huddle, and his fans were like, I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. This is one. This is from AI. West right slot 72 Z Bingo. On two. Like,
And it's designed that way so people outside can't hear it and know exactly what you're going to run.
Well, and even then, that's not a good example of it because it's a little more detailed than that. You listen to John Gruden and his stuff. But they call it protection. They're telling every player what to do in an NFL play call. Mm-hmm. In college, it's not like that. In college, it's we'll do the formation, we'll do the count, but we'll do the protections based upon the play call. And we'll do the concept will be, a lot of people may not, so it would be Vegas, but it'd be like Roger Vegas over whatever. And so everybody kind of knows that because you're going to run about, in NFL, you got not a limitless, but you got hundreds of combinations that you can go over. Whereas in college, I mean, you're only going to carry about eight run plays, maybe, I'm guessing. I get with Jeff Scott. Jeff and I are coaching baseball night 5:30. I'll ask him for tomorrow's show. Both of our sons on the same team again. But I'll ask him, like, how many run calls would you have in a game? And that would be about eight, maybe. And in pass, you might have about 20, maybe 30. But in that, the reason that is the case is because you can run more – well, depending on fronts, but basically your protection is different depending on the front and what you see, and you run that separately. Whereas in the run game, you got to count for everybody, and you got to count for all the fronts and all the blitzes, all that much more detailed rather than just slide protection type stuff. That's why you can't go in college. I don't think you can go into a game with 30 different run plays.
That would be insane. Yeah. Outside of the eight, I'm sure there's a couple special ones that you have played that you can call in, you know, during a timeout or something like that. Yeah. But, yeah. Regardless, tip of the cap, Akron, you're making people talk about it. You're getting people's hopes up. You even got Pat McAfee talking about buying up a huge part of alignment, which is hilarious because – if you were able to do that, think about somebody like Pat McAfee who has sponsors who are, you know, in the gambling sphere.
Yeah. A bunch.
That could bring a lot more questions and controversy the person.
Yeah, but you are actually, you're only going to go three. They're going to call the interception play or the pick six play, you know, something like that.
No.
I finally found an NFL play call that I wanted to go. Ready?
Do it. Yes.
Did I do this with you the other day or was this with Ashby?
It must have been with Ashby.
Okay, ready? It's what you say in a huddle. Green left, twin nasty, Z peel tight, pass 37, Buster bluff, Y post, X post, Y bite, kill 53, tight and left on one. So if you're going to criticize the NFL, instead of whenever you hear, I want you to call in and go, I don't think they should have ran green left, twin nasty, Z-peel tight, pass 37, Buster Bluff, X post, Y bite, kill 53, Titan left on one. So what that is a formation, green left, twin nasty. The protection, Z-peel tight. The route concept, 37 pass buster. And then it tells you what the X does and what the Y does. And then it tells you the kill 53 tight and left. That's what you would go to if they don't, if you don't like the look. That the kill is what you would kill the first play and you'd run the second play, call it two plays, and then on one. But even the cadence of the NFL is different because you've got all day to work on cadences and what the quarterback's cadences are. And you're trying to throw the defense off and all that. So anyway.
Just like Peyton Manning, the Omaha, yeah, Omaha, yeah, Omaha. Yeah. Which was a code word to this is, you know.
And hut it, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're working on all that all day, every day. Whereas college, suppose you're going to class. I don't know if you still are or not.
Yeah, not these days, jeez.
I just like to say that once again, I was very impressed that they actually called green left twin nasty Z pill pass 37 Buster Bluff X post Y blight kill 53 tight and left on one. How would you not jump off sides, man? Like it's swimming in your head. Like, what? Now all the X is only listening to post and the Y is only listening to bite. But the offensive line and what they're listening to, like the quarterback's got to know all that. That's crazy. Anyway, it's good stuff. I enjoyed segment two. And what would you call, by the way? What would you want to do if you had the first series?
If I was actually trying to, well, I don't really know about Akron's squad, but
or Robert Morris's defense or any of that stuff. But
well, Robert Morris is crap team, so I would probably I formation halfback lead, and just assume it's a touchdown. That's my drive.
You assume that. I'd try to get the quarterback maybe some pretty easy early throws in there. Let's do a little bootleg action.
Oh, it's not about the quarterback. It's about me. First drive.
I like it. I'd boot him out and let him get a little easy pass out the tight end or fullback out in the flat, a little H-back in the flat or whatever. Do that. At Clemson, you couldn't run any kind of a wide receiver screen to get boot on your very first play that you called.
Okay, let me take it back. Yeah. Fullback dive, play action, halfback wheel.
Yeah, love it. Love the wheel. All right. We got a man. Look at the text line. You can tell it's Monday. Short break. We'll come back. Love to hear from you. Much more when you come back after this. Injury lawyer, phone line 654 Roar. Appreciate all the texts so far, man. Texts have been busy here on a Monday until football season is close. George is in Anderson. Hey, good morning, George. Thanks for calling in. How you doing?
Oh, doing great, Mickey. You know, I was in those meeting rooms back in the 80s with Bill Oliver and Miles Aldridge and Tommy West, those guys. So,
oh, man, what a staff.
What the common person don't know is, by the time you get to the game, I mean, the grad assistants have already sliced and diced everything the opponent's going to do, both on the offense and defensive side.
Yep.
You've got scripted plays for the first 10 to 15 plays. They're scripted. You're going to call these plays. It ain't – we're you know, it's a chess game. Now, they'll check out, and they've got all their checks and stuff. But the common person doesn't understand the complexity. And if you've ever sat in a Bill Oliver meeting, listen. You understand the genius behind what these guys do.
Yeah.
So I just think that the common guy walking in off the street says, let's run flea flicker right. But by the time you get to – if you're going to go in that meeting room on Sunday or you know, Sunday – actually, they start Saturday night after the previous game. And, and they're going to start developing their game plan. By the time you get to the Saturday's game, they will have convinced you these are the plays we're going to run and this is what we need to run. And you will know, hey, they're going to show us this and we're going to check to that and then they're going to do this and then we're going to disguise this defense into this way and that's what we're going to run. Okay. Yeah, that's a great play. Let's run that play.
That's how that's going to go. Yeah, Coach Oliver, man, what a genius he was. And late nights, I remember being over there in old Jervy, you know, when everybody was in Jervy. And, man, it was late nights. Those lights are on awful late over there. I can neither confirm nor deny that every once in a while Bill Oliver might have a little bit of brown water over
there
with him.
A, There might be a little brown water in there.
Yeah. I can see that still this day. With the lights turned down low because the film's on, so you know, it might be by those big telephones they used to have. Might be hidden back there behind that sometimes.
So our grad assistant room, we had Gene Chizik, Matt Wanaboo.
Yeah. Matt Wanaboo. Chris
Lancaster, Todd Schonar, the late Todd Schonar.
By the way, was there a better personality than Todd Schonar?
I want to tell you this story. So we're at Todd's apartment over on Hunter's Glen.
Yeah.
And Todd gets a phone call from what was Rick's last name? The quarterback coach.
Rick Stockstill.
Rick Stockstill. Todd gets a call from Rick. And he says, Ford's going to ask me who I want to start. And we're sitting there, and we all the GAs were in the room in Todd's apartment. We're sitting there, and he's talking to Rick, and he's got it on speaker. And everybody's like, oh, you got to start Deshaun. You got to start Deshaun. Deshaun's the better quarterback. And
Deshaun Cameron, by the way, not Deshaun Watson for people listening.
Deshaun Cameron, correct.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, he's just shown out in fall ball. He's ready to go.
Right.
He's the heir apparent. He's ready to go. And so Rick says, Chris has been here the whole time. I mean, he did his time. And everybody understands that too. And I mean, and probably when you flip a coin, there ain't much difference between them.
Right.
So Rick says, if I say Deshaun, the coach is gonna get upset, you know, blah blah blah. And he said, and I don't know what he told Coach Ford, but Chris was the starting quarterback on day one. And that was, you sit there and you go, well, that's why they're the head coach. They make those decisions. We had a great year. You know, we beat West Virginia in the bowl game. Chester McLaughlin showed out. I mean, it was a wonderful year.
I'm trying to put the time frame right, George. You were there when Todd Schonar was on the horse before the Florida State game. Right? Where he comes out on the field, and he's Chief Osceola. He's dressed up as Chief Osceola. This is before, like, the Thursday practice, Tuesday practice, whatever it was. And you look over there, and here comes Schonar on horseback. And they're they got a tomahawk chop going, and here's one of the GAs, and here he comes out, and he's got the spirit of everything. The player's going crazy.
He got the whole uniform on, everything.
Yes.
Face paint, everything.
Face paint, got everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, were you there during one of the meetings where I think it's Billy D that was in the coffin? That might have been before. That might have been 80, 85, 80. That was 85, maybe.
Yeah, that was before me.
Yeah, they had a funeral for Clemson football. And then Billy D, they're eulogizing Billy D, emerged from the coffin, said, we ain't dead yet. And they came back and won a bunch of games after that, whatever. But, man, some good times, everybody.
So, Mac Brown said something off-key about Clemson. And I want to tell you, they played that every meeting. We played that back and forth. And we went to North Carolina that year, and we struck North Carolina like they ain't never been beat. We're still scoring touchdowns.
35-3. The end of that year finished with a 20-point win against number 12 NC State, a 34-point win against Wake Forest, 35-3 win at North Carolina. Let's see if I'm right with saying this.
Was that the 45-0 year?
Yeah, 45-0. So you're probably in the room there where he broke out the new orange pants for the first time with the stripes on them down there, and 45-0 there, and then just destroying a Major Harris in the Gator Bowl.
So in the year before, when Barry Switzer said, they acting like it's the national championship. We play like this every week.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Good memories, George. Good stuff, man. Call me. I'd love to hear this more often.
Hey, but just the common folk don't understand the complexity that goes on in these meeting rooms. I mean, when you do, you go in, you start respecting, hey, you know, your view as a Monday morning quarterback is totally different once you understand what these coaches do.
100%.
And we're dealing with 18 to 23-year-olds, and, you know, we don't know that their girlfriend just left them the night before, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's a big deal. So, anyway, Great show, Mickey.
Thank you, George. Appreciate that. Todd Schoenaar on horseback the week of the Florida State game. And Clemson goes. You get 273-yard touchdowns that year with a Terry Allen run and a Wayne Simmons pick six. And, man, just what a year. Great year, no doubt about that. I hated to bring up the Seminole stuff. Seminole Ted, I'm telling you, it's 1989. You know, it's September of 89. Now, you're preseason number one. Now, you lost to Southern Miss or something in the opening game. But then from there on, I'm watching a Clemson graduate assistant with war paint on, some Indian thing on the week before practice and the week before going down to Tallahassee down that way. And it was an interesting time back then, buddy.
Yes, it was. Well, you know, I may not be a college coach, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn.
There you go. And you might play Madden sometimes. So.
Yeah. Now, way above my pay grade, Mickey. Well, I wanted to call and say congrats to your Yankees as much as I hate saying that. I mean, I hate saying it. It's hard to go up to New York and win a series, though, especially for Atlanta. Y'all have had our number ever since the 96 World Series, Mickey. But great games.
They were all great games. They were all close games. They were all one-run games. Two of them were extra-inning games. Man, it was a really good series.
Did you see where Chris Sale got kicked out yesterday before the game ever
started? Before the game even started, based upon what happened on Saturday.
He started jawing at that umpire.
You know, Chris Sale, I'm not saying that he meant to get thrown out, but if you're not going to pitch, pretty good to go ahead and get thrown out and go and get in the showers a little early, you know? Go back there and have to.
Well, maybe. And you can go ahead and get the ref riled up again.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
But they're great games. Great pitching, man. And all those games is great pitching. So it'd be that's the one team I don't want to see in the World Series, Mickey, but if we make it there, because, man, y'all just seem to have our number in the World Series, Mickey. But, hey, I just wanted to give you those props because I know you're a big Yankees fan, so. Have a good one, Mickey.
Thank you, Seminole Ted. Braves still in good shape. 3 1-run games, 2 extra-inning games. Yankees win it, and it was in Yankee Stadium. So we'll take that. We needed to play well. We've got a mountain to climb over there against the Rays. But good to see. A lot of fun there for sure. All right, if you are on hold, hang on. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Open phone lines. Phone lines been busy this morning. Text line busy. You can tell that we are – inside of 3 weeks for game week. We've got a lot of practice news and notes to think about at Clemson and South Carolina and Georgia. We'll get to some of that in the next hour. Take your phone calls, obviously, in the next hour as well. So, and don't forget now. So two ways to do that. One is our Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. That's what you heard so far on the show with a bunch of phone calls here. 654-ROAR on our Adams & Co. roofing text line. You can reach us there at 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Texter made a great point. I'll get to the next segment too, about why you have so many fewer run plays than pass plays as far as what you take into a game. And it's all about blocking all the fronts and all that stuff. So we'll talk about that. Love for you to come back on a Reaction Monday, hour two, right after this.